At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. Back after a week off, nice and refreshed. It was a dead week last week. NFL over. NBA was in their All-Star break, so we took a week off. We're back. We have a great show this week. We have one of the hosts of the very, very popular WFAN and CBS Sports Network morning show, Greg Giannotti, from the Boomer and Geo show. Boomer and Geo, a ratings juggernaut in New York, and they're also seen across the country on CBS Sports Network every morning from 6 to 10. So we have a great conversation about the state of radio, what makes a radio show successful, how to run a successful radio show. It's a really great interview with Greg Giannotti about the overall state of radio and WFAN and doing a simulcast and all that stuff. And then my buddy Sal Licata joins us for Train of Thoughts. Gio joins us. Gio and Sal are friends and work together. So we do a Train of Thoughts with Sal and Gio, get into a betting story that I got for the guys. We talked about the We Are the World documentary. Touched on a couple of other topics in the Train of Thoughts with Sal and Gio. Before I get to it, if you missed any recent episodes, make sure you go into the archives, check them out. A lot of football stuff to end the season. We did a Super Bowl wrap-up pod. Jim Nance was on the show, Brian Curtis, Kyle Brandt, Kevin Burkhart, Greg Olson, all recent guests. So go into the archives, check those out, and make sure you subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. That's the most important. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. All right. First up, Greg Giannotti from WFAN and CBS Sports Network, followed by Train of Thoughts with Sal Licata and Gio in this week's special edition. All right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, part of the enormously popular WFAN and CBS Sports Network team of Boomer and Gio in the morning from 6 to 10 a.m., he is Greg Giannotti, first time on the pod. Thanks for doing this, Greg. How's it going?
Thanks for having me, Jimmy. I'm doing great, man. It's I probably should have showed up to your house to do this. You don't live that far away. I just thought about that right now. Why don't I just come over? I could probably get there by the end of this podcast.
We could have done that. I love having Long Island people on. Does anyone call you Greg?
Yeah, a lot of people. Most people, actually. I know when I moved to Sayville, people would ask me that question. Do you prefer Gio or Greg? And I said it really doesn't matter to me, but I think most people call me Greg, and especially the closest people to me.
Yeah. So I wanted to, you know, once the NFL ends, I like to sort of mix it up with the guests, because I have so many NFL guests on during this season. So I'm so glad we're able to do this, because I'm a huge listener and fan of the show, and radio is just so fascinating in this day and age where there's so many podcasts that it's, you know, it's ridiculous. And I don't know how, you know, I don't know the relationship young people have with radio. I mean, I grew up on The Fan and radio, so it means something to me. So, and you guys are so successful, so I wanted to sort of pick your brain about that and get into some radio stuff and some other things. So appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm glad that you're still a a radio listener and someone who, because, you know, you get a lot of the old school FAN listeners that don't like some of the new younger stuff. And you've actually you've stuck with us through the entire time. So I appreciate that.
I don't know. I have a weird loyalty. Like, I still listen to Howard Stern. I still listen to The Fan. Like, yeah, I still watch wrestling. Like, I'm a loyal guy through and through. So, you know, it's weird because I sort of approach all of those things as like, there's the fan in me who grew up listening and consuming all this stuff. And then there's the media person in me. And like I said, I'm fascinated by you and Boomer Show. Let's start with this, because you guys are on The Fan in New York, and then you're also on CBS Sports Network. So I'm just wondering, like, how much you guys think about, talk about, discuss, cognizant of, you're catering to two different audiences. You have the local New York audience where, I mean, there are people who'd be happy if you're breaking down like who the second lefty is out of the Met and Yankee bullpen, but you also have this national audience on CBS Sports Network. So how do you, you know, mix the TV radio stuff? Is that dicey to do that, or you guys?
No, not at all. Honestly, we barely think about topics that have to do nationally. I mean, I did a national radio show before Boomer and Geo on CBS Sports Radio, and that was a completely different situation. So when I got to FAN, it was basically, you do the FAN radio show. This is what they wanted when they signed on with Boomer and Carton when they started. And then we were just going to continue doing New York sports talk. And that's what they wanted. They wanted a New York audience. They wanted a New York feel. And for whatever reason, there's some people who grew up in the Midwest, grew up in the West Coast that have nothing to do with New York that will latch on to us from time to time. I think just some more of the social topics or things that are going on in our lives. But very rarely do we talk about a topic standpoint. There's things that are visual we'll talk about. Like, that'll be good for CBS Sports Network. We show that. This is better for the TV audience in a sense of what you can see and not see. But as far as topics go, national or local, we do New York sports talk. And we don't really care if someone in out in Sacramento doesn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I really enjoy about the show is that it's not just your hardcore sports show. You guys, I mean, I feel like you guys do maybe 50% sports. And I love the fact that it's just not all Yankees, Mets, Jets, Giants, Knicks. I mean, which is, you know, what we're used to. I love that you guys go into a lot of areas, some of them weird, some of them sports, some of them not sports. I love that it's a, I mean, if you had to, I know for me, like, you know, we're both good friends with Sal Licata. I've said to Sal a million times, like, I can never do what he does. Like, if I had to sit there and talk about like the Mets for 4 hours, I give him so much credit for doing that. If you had to, like, if you couldn't do the other non-sports stuff, how much less would you enjoy your job?
You know, that's a great question. I could tell you're a listener. I actually said this the other day off the air. I said, I couldn't enjoy. I would do it because it would be a living, and I've sort of put all my eggs right in the sports log basket at this point. I would do it, but I would not be happy if I had to do straight 4 hour sports talk. Now, I did grow up on that. I did love listening to Joe Beningo and Steve Summers and Mike and the Mad Dog, of course, but there was also things that they did that were funny to me that were non-sports. But where we are today, especially now at this point in my life, early 40s, two kids, I just have different interests. And some of these things are very specific. Like, if you really want hardcore, straight Yankees, you know, there is a podcast for that. Right. Or straight Mets, there is a podcast for that. So really, we sort of, in my mind and talking to different people, creative people in radio, it was more and more about the people who are tuning us in. Yes, when there's something big going on in New York sports, I want to hear what we have to say. But when there's not, and a lot of time the teams have been bad or it's a slow time in sports now, they're coming to us for our personalities, you know, our takes on all sorts of things. And especially in the morning, they want to laugh. So I will opt for, you know, maybe in 2018, I wouldn't do this, but I'll opt more for the funny personal story than I would, let's talk about the minor league system or the bullpen or things that I couldn't do that. Yeah. I would rather do a show on maybe reality television before I could do straight 4 hour sports talk right now, because there's a lot of these things, like, Like I give these guys credit across the country, whether it's First Take or anything else on FAN. Like I can't imagine. Like I'm like, do you guys really care that much about that particular? There's no way you can possibly, with everything going on in the world, care that much and be yelling back and forth about who the first baseman should be. There's no way. And I sometimes feel like that also could come across a little bit phony if you're that passionate about something that's so minute, especially when nothing is going on. So, you know, I try to be authentic, and if I'm interested in it, if Boomer's interested in it, then it comes across to the audience like we care and we're passionate, and generally that translates.
Yeah. I do wonder, I mean, I've discussed this too, how much of it is getting older? I mean, I cared about sports so much more when I was younger, but then you get older and you have real life situations that you're dealing with. And it's like, okay, am I really going to go crazy because the Yankees blew a game in middle of July against the Royals? It's, you know, it is, but there are still so many hardcore sports fans like that. I go by the standpoint that I think every sports fan is deranged. Like to be a sports fan, you have, and I include myself in that. Like I'm irrational when it comes to the Yankees. Like it's just part of the gig, but you see some of these people, how seriously they take it. And I'm just like, oh my God, do you have like no problems in life? I can't fathom that you could be that upset about it.
Well, I know. And I used to be when I was younger, and I think that was sort of a testament to how great, I think about it now, I didn't think about it then, but how great my childhood was. I was very lucky. I was two wonderful parents who were still alive, who I was an only child. I had great friends. I loved where I grew up. So really, like when my teams lost, it was the worst stuff to happen to me because I was loved and things really worked out well. So, I mean, and then I look back now, not that my life isn't good now, but I mean, you just have different perspective. You're more responsible for things. There's all sorts of different problems that you have to fix that nobody's there to fix for you. But I still, and I see that amongst my friends too. I really try to, you know, gauge when I'm out talking to people, you know, what really matters to them, because that's our audience. I mean, the guys that I hang out with in Sayville on a Friday afternoon, and that's mostly who is listening to us is those type of guys. So if something's coming up in sports that maybe I'm not paying as much attention to, but I hear those guys talking about a lot, generally that's a good gauge, but it ends, you know. It's not like, you know, maybe when we were 21, you wouldn't talk to your friend for 2 weeks if you had a disagreement about who the starting quarterback should be. But now it's sort of like you yell back and forth for 10 minutes. You're like, all right, let's get another drink and shut up about it.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I always tell Sal, I'd be the worst person on any like debate show or anything like that, because after maybe like 2 minutes, I'd go, I don't care. And that would be horrible television.
I know. I mean, I get worked up sometimes over, like, I don't want to sound hypocritical. There are things that I get passionate about still in sports, but, and it's rare, you know, it's more rare. I more get angry at that dumb things that bother me about sports. Like an athlete does something silly I don't know, that Evan Neal story last year where he was saying the things about like, oh, I don't have the opinions of sheep when you're a lion, and what are you doing delivering pizzas or whatever. It's stuff like that. It kind of annoys me.
I get annoyed. Yeah, I get annoyed about like all the old man stuff, like the streaming bullshit and $40 to park your car at a game. Right. Like that's the stuff that, you know, I also, that's the difference too. I think when you're a kid, or not even just a kid, but even like whatever, 20s, like it's all like fun. And now it's so much of the business of it is, you know, you want to go. I feel so bad for the guy who wants to take his wife and two kids to a game. He's got to spend like $700 by the time it's all done because he wants to get, you know, a Coke, a hot dog and park and a hat. It's like, you know, then you throw in what the streaming stuff, and it is, you know, a little bit of
a lot. I mean, yeah, I mean, I get really mad at these organizations too. And that's one of the trickier things these days to deal with, especially if you have a partnership, you know, like we do with the Yankees. Odyssey is also with the Mets. We have the Giants. So it's sort of those things when you get into those business topics, it can be tricky. So sometimes you have to hold back because you know the bosses are going to get phone calls about it. But Yeah, I mean, and you know, I feel bad for the fan too, and I know that the easy answer is, well, you don't have to go. No one's forcing you to go. That's the easy, like, but it's not that easy, because there have been people who have grown up their entire lives, you know, when they were a kid and they got older, dreaming about taking their son or daughter to a game and having that experience and how special it is for them. And they probably thought, like, hell, you know, I'd buy a 20 game plan. But now it's like, I can't buy a 20 game plan. I'd be broke. This is insanity. And it shouldn't be like that. But I mean, I also think it's increasingly harder just to live in New York. It's just, it's just as you get older, it's just like, this is too expensive. It's too frustrating. There's too much traffic. There's too many people. Yep. The weather sucks. I'm trying to be happy, but everything I try to do makes me happy is too expensive or unhealthy. I don't know what to do anymore. And now on top of it, every one of my teams sucks. Like, so that's why I think also the show has evolved a lot, because the teams have been terrible around here too. Like, you can't talk bad football, bad baseball, bad basketball every single day. It's just, it's sickening.
I wanted to get into that because I wonder now, listen, there have been teams that have been bad for so long here in New York. I mean, you have like the Jets though, to me, like, they've been an embarrassment their entire existence outside of like 3 years with Parcells, basically. But is it bad for you, for sports talk radio, if the teams are bad? Because I'm of the belief that the negativity could be just as good. I mean,
it is, but it doesn't last very long. So, right. Like, here was a good example. I remember, because you grew up a Mike Francesa fan too. It was years ago. It was 2007 when the Giants went on that run to the Super Bowl and the Mets had collapsed. It was that first collapse year, you know, the 7-17 with the Phillies. And he goes, for us, what the Giants did, that was a 9. What the Mets did, that was a 10. You know, and that was true at that point. But here's the problem that we have had a lot, especially in New York football. Like, the negativity is there, but then the organization becomes irrelevant. So when you get to the September, all right, they're 0-4 or they're 1-5 in October and everybody's pissed. I can't believe they're doing this again. But then they're playing these games in December that nobody cares about. And you think about the Mets last year. All right, people were angry about what was going on, but they were dead in July. So they got July, August, September, beginning of October. They're dead. Then you've got no playoff baseball at all. The Yankees, too, were the least interesting season they had in a very long time. So, yes, negativity in the sense of a team that's got high expectations but falls short does usually play, and there's a lot of angrier people. But I also wouldn't mistake the angry callers and passionate hosts for great listenership, because I know, at least when I was a listener, I didn't like putting on those days because I could vent or I wanted to get away from it. I really do believe that even though it's choir, you don't get as many phone calls, you don't get as many people screaming, but people love when their team wins. They get in the car, they put it on. I just want to hear people talking about it because it makes me happy. And we haven't had a lot of that in a very long time.
Yeah, I guess you made the point that it doesn't last, because I'm thinking about the Jets, for instance. Like, Aaron Rodgers blowing out his Achilles 4 plays into the first game. I know for me, my brain goes to, I can't wait to put on Boomer and Gio tomorrow. Yeah. If the Jets win a game on Sunday, no offense, I'm not like, I can't wait to listen to Boomer. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm just a negative person, but like you said, I guess it doesn't last, because then by week 8, when it's the same shit over and over.
Exactly. So if you're talking one specific day, yes. You know, a terrible call in a game or a playoff loss or one specific day. But I mean, if you think about the ride, I really think in the beginning of when, you know, after Imus and then with Boomer and Carton, they got two unbelievable stories there in 2007 when they started. You know, it was September 2007. They got the Mets collapse right off the bat. Then they had the Giants run to the Super Bowl. And that was just like huge. You know, and I remember in the, like, being like irrationally bitter about that when I started, because I was like, I got nothing like that. I got the Giants hiring Pat Shurmur was the biggest story I had in like a year and a half. So yes, they both can play. But I can tell you from my seat, having some of these these seasons that the teams are just nothing by the end of it, and you're waiting for the off season. It's miserable to be irrelevant in New York City.
Let me transition. Yeah, I want to know a little bit about the show prep and what goes into your daily show. So it's Boomer and Geo Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., 10 a.m. Eastern on WFAN in New York and then CBS Sports Network. It's Greg Giannotti and Boomer Esiason. I'm just curious what goes into, I mean, I had Boomer on once and I'm always blown away by any show that starts at 6 a.m. I could do a whole podcast on just like your lifestyle, the waking up, the going to bed, like that's a whole other thing. But I'm just curious, give me like how much you discuss with Boomer, what you're going to discuss before the show starts. When do you decide on a lead item? Who decides the lead item? You have your producer, Al Dukes. Is it all collaborative? Just tell me a little bit about like the show getting started and then like the topics and how you make all that happen.
So it's funny. The good story, right before the first show I ever hosted with Boomer as a tryout situation, he told me, he's like, I don't want to talk to you about what we talk about. He goes, I don't want to do that. You just talk about what you want to talk about. I will react and we'll see how it goes. And I was like, wow, that's different. You know? So I kind of had to get used to that in the beginning. Now it has evolved over the years to basically, you know, Al's got a list of topics that he emails us the night before. I have stuff that's either in my head or I write down before. And then we look at the show like this. Big topics, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m. And if it's a huge topic, you try to reset at 9, which you did at 6. Or maybe if it's huge, you know, you kind of sprinkle it out throughout the entire show. Then we have that update segment with Jerry where he comes in at 25 and he does all the sports and then funny audio. Then we have that short segment before the top of the hour where that's like funnier stories, different things that are going on that are maybe non-sports that you couldn't do for 15 or 20 minutes, but you could do for 6 or 7 minutes. So that's sort of the template. And it's gotten to the point now where I kind of put that together and then Boomer will react to it. But one of the things that I do, if you'll notice in the beginning of the show at 6 a.m., it's something that I learned over the years was that he wouldn't love to talk about what he wanted to talk about before the show, but he always had an idea about what he wanted to talk about before the show. So I would come out with like a strong opinion on something and he would be like, well, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that later because I don't know why you're so worked up about it. And let me talk about this. So then what I started doing, I'm like, all right, if he doesn't love the prepping before the show and he has something in his head that he wants to say, I'll just throw out a bunch of things that I know are relevant, that we both know are relevant, and he'll, at that first segment, take it where he wants to go, and then I'll have a list of other topics that I will hit as the show goes on. And Boomer and I love the improv of it, the spontaneity of it, so we try not to get too locked into, we have to talk about this there, we have to talk about that there, because some of our funniest moments and our best moments come out of absolute nowhere, and you got to have room for that. So when you work together for so long and you know what the show is, like very rarely am I'm telling the Boomer, hey, you know, we have to do this or we should do that. He already knows and he's locked in still,
right? So when you open the show at 6 a.m and you go into opening the show, he does not know what you're gonna say or
no.
What you're gonna bring up. Wow.
Very rare. Very,
wow.
Very
I'm surprised
rare.
You don't even just do it like, okay, we're gonna go Yankees here and then start. Not even that.
No, because
that's amazing.
Because we both know what's important and right. What the audience is going to want to hear and what we're going to want to talk about. So he doesn't have to worry about me not knowing something. I don't have to worry about him not knowing something. Like there are times where I'll be like, if it's a more serious topic, I'll say we should do this first. How do you want to frame it? You know, and that'll be like something like maybe a criminal thing in sports or a social issue in sports. Then I'll go to him and sit down in his office 15 minutes before the show and be like, all right, you know, this is what I'm thinking on this. This is what we should avoid. You know, we should get into it this way. But he really, and I respect the hell out of him with this because he's so prepared and so locked in for a former athlete. Still to this day, after doing it 17, 18 years, like I never have to worry about him not knowing what's going on. I mean, it's like never, ever, ever, even on these days where he's like, he's gone for 5 days on a golf trip or he's filming a commercial somewhere, he always comes back completely locked in, which generally isn't the case for guys as famous as him.
Yeah, that's wild to me that he doesn't even know that, you know, you don't have to give him like the specifics, but hey, it's going to be Yankees. He doesn't even know that. That's wild.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
You mentioned some of the best stuff is the stuff that comes up naturally that you don't plan out. Obviously, you had the Randy Moss situation a couple of weeks ago, which was tremendous.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's another one of those things where I'm looking at it maybe a little different than just the person who's listening because, okay, yes. So the gist of it is you guys thought the Vikings Randy Moss was coming on. It turns out it was the horse racing analyst Randy Moss who was booked. But what I loved about that was the way you found out, where you said to your producer, Al Dukes, what is he promoting? And it was that just that question that led to the whole segment, which got a lot of play, obviously. Now, when that's going on in your head, are you like, okay, this is gold? Or are you just blown away that you guys booked the wrong guy? Or can you see the radio gold in that moment?
I can, but it's all a natural reaction, you know. I think we even had like Eddie Scazzeri was like in that moment, like, oh, this is awesome, and then I said, this is horrible. Like right off the bat, we sort of knew what was going on, and Al too, and Boomer. So yeah, you know that it's good. I didn't think it would get as big as it was, or it did, because there was really nothing going on Super Bowl week, and that was like one of the stories that day, which was hilarious, but. I definitely, it's a natural reaction. It's all real, but I definitely can tell that this is going to be a really funny thing that's going to resonate with a lot of people. I'm still to this day, like part of me is to your point of like, can you realize if it's good in the moment or not? I still don't know the answer to this. Wouldn't it have been funnier if I never asked that question and I showed up that day with my Viking sweatshirt on and my picture, I was ready to sign. And then the white, bald Randy Moss walked in, and I was like, oh, my God. And then Al had to talk to him and sit him down. I don't know which scenario would have been funnier, but we're never going to know.
I know you would ask that. I actually think the way it happened was funnier because I do think if that guy shows up, then you've got to take time because you probably then end up doing some sort of funny, loose interview with him in some way, shape, or, you know, has this ever happened before? I love the way it played out. And I'm going to sound like a total dick for saying this. Almost the second you brought it up, I said they booked the role of Randy Moss. Because I knew you guys weren't on Radio Row.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Randy Moss, the receiver, He's not, maybe he'd go to Radio Row, but like 6 o'clock in the morning to 10, like it just, I was like this, that I find that hard. And I hadn't heard, you know, with Radio Row and the Super Bowl, you know, the players that are on every single show that week. So like, and I hadn't heard that name. And then as soon, when you said, what is he promoting? And the second Al Duke said horse racing, I knew right then you booked the wrong run name. I, you know, so I, then I was like, I can't wait to see how this plays out. So,
yeah, no, I had thought, so that there are, there's a couple reasons why I believed it was going to happen. One, we had no one else booked that week. And Al knows how big of a Vikings fan I am. He knows how much I love Randy Moss. So I was thinking, like, if he was going to get one guest, getting that Randy Moss would be a thing. And I figured maybe it was, like, and he had stuff to do for ESPN, which is on East Coast as well. And I'm thinking maybe it was a day, you know, and it ended up, it was earlier in the week. But at the time, I didn't know when he first told me. I was like, maybe it's a Friday when he flies in. He's got a long day. And he had, he saw my reaction back in the, it was the 2019 season, January or February of 2020, when John Randall, another one of my favorite players, walked by and how excited I was. So I was like, I was actually thinking like, that's really cool that Al worked that hard to make sure that the real Randy Moss was here. So I was completely naive to it. And I really thought, like, even though I know there's another Randy Moss, I was like, why would that guy be anywhere near Vegas promoting anything? Because I know that he used to be on the NFL Network, but I mean, it's not even around. I mean, we're talking, it's February in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. It's not even like we're close to the Kentucky Derby or anything. And right.
It's so weird because I never, I mean, I knew after the fact, but I never knew him when he worked for NFL Network. I just knew him as a horse racing guy, and I'm not even a horse racing guy, but that's when, so when you asked, I mean, Al said it right away. He's, oh, he's promoting some horse racing thing. I was like, oh, this is funniest thing is I actually wrote about the whole thing in my column for SI.com that day. And then that afternoon, I got an email from Randy Moss, the horse racing guy, his publicist, being like, so what you wrote, would you like to have him on the SI Media podcast? He can talk about this, that. I'm like, I don't want to be mean, but like the story is that you guys booked the wrong Randy Moss. That's what was funny. I want to talk about a little bit about you and just like your journey to the fan. It's crazy to me. This is year seven for Boomer and Geo, correct?
Yeah,
that's a long time already for a show. And that's why I think the rate, you know, I was looking up. I mean, I know you guys were number one in the mornings and by a lot. And then I saw that like your ratings actually went up from 2022 to 2023. And like, do you guys, how deep do you get into the ratings? Do you analyze, okay, why'd we go up 2 points this year? Like, do you get that into the weeds with the numbers?
When things are going well, not so much. If things are not going well, then you try to figure out how to get them back on track. So if things are going well and we're doing the show the way we're doing it, I don't like to ask too many questions because I know the way we're doing it every day is going to be pretty similar. But as far as the judging on how well you're doing through the ratings, I try not to do that too much because if you know anything about radio ratings, there's a lot of extrapolation. And when it's going good, it's great. And I don't complain about it. When it's going, if it's not going good, then I'm like, well, this is what a bullshit system this is. Like, who even pays attention to this? But if it's going good, you're holding like a trophy over your head. But there's a couple of things that I think are a better indicator of popularity, and that was the when we had the show at the Paramount on Long Island, and the ticket prices were more expensive than I expected them to be, but they were pitched to us by the Paramount people, like, we think you can get this. And then I started asking around to friends. I was like, you think this ticket price range will work? And it was, I mean, there were some tickets that were $250 there, and there were other tickets $125-$150 range, and we had to sell over 1,000 of them. And then it sold out in 7 minutes. And then I was like, all right, that to me is a bigger end. Cause if you can sell out a place and you get people to pay when you're on free every day on the radio, that to me is a good indicator, but there have been times like in the beginning when we first started and the numbers were a little flat, it wasn't bad, but we were more like, you know, third or fourth. And then you're like looking, all right, how can, and it's not even like, It is such a bullshit system because like when you try to fix the ratings, it's never anything that has to do with content necessarily. In my experience, it's more like, all right, you got to break on time because the meters and the quarter hours, and you get more people listening and time spent listening. And I always like, well, that those are like little mechanical things. But like, if you don't have it and the show's not good, like no one's going to give a shit period about what you're talking about. So right. I would always, it was never like I have to be, if the ratings were down ever, like I have to be better. I have to be more interesting because I believed in myself that I could do it. But all the things that you have to change were more like mechanical things. Like, and Spike still to this day gets mad if that last break, I don't break at 55 or 5 before the hour and get back right at the top of the hour. Cause it's like people are more ingrained to like go top of the hour. You're going to get a reset of a topic. You're going to get a reset of news. People are programmed that way. And if they go to us and it's 8:02 and we're in a commercial break, they're more apt to go somewhere else. So the rating system is strange, but I know there's this golf simulator place on Lincoln Avenue here in Ronkonkoma that I go to every single time I go in there. Somebody knows the show. And it's things like that that make you feel like, okay, you really are resonating with people more than like a 12.2 and the number two station is the Spanish tropical hit station, you know?
What's that like going around Long Island and everyone's recognizing you? It's got to be a trip.
It definitely is. And it's funny because the friends that I have, they're like, how do you deal with that? I mean, I can't believe it. I'm like, what? You understand that if I was walking around Sayville as a morning talk show host on WFAN and nobody knew who I was, that means I'd be failing miserably. So I love it. And I said, the day that someone comes up, that like, I walk into a place and no one has any idea who I am, and it's a room full of dudes, then that's going to be a big problem for me. So that very rarely is there someone who's super annoying, and it's never anything negative. It's just someone who's just like chewing your ear off about something, or, you know, and then they're giving me the whole, I've been a season ticket holder for this long and that long, and I was at this game, and I'm like, all right. And, I mean, I'm really nice to a point, and if someone's just like there and keeps talking, it could be annoying, but I absolutely love it. I appreciate it because there's everybody that comes up to me is essentially me. You know, I mean, there's really no difference. We're just guys living on Long Island who like sports, who, you know, like being here, maybe boats, maybe golf, maybe whatever. So it's and there's a sense of pride in both ways and a sense of respect with the listener. So, yeah, it is a trip. And I actually do enjoy talking to the listeners, despite what people think.
It shows the power of WFAN, too. I mean, like you said, the station's gone through a lot of changes. But, you know, and I have this even with SI, like obviously SI, there's all this stuff going on, but like there is power in those names, WFAN, Sports Illustrated. You know, I went out to dinner with Sal after he got the afternoon gig. We went to Rothman's one night and like we walk in and when they're walking us to our table and like four people like, Sal, we love you, Sal. Sal was like, oh my God, what the hell is going on here? Power of the fan.
Yeah, I agree. And it's the thing that I think is the power of the radio station, and there's so many examples of it, but it's like you can talk about anything, like anything, and someone somewhere, here's a great one. This is a great one. I brought up, and I'm glad I thought of an example on the spot. It wasn't that long ago that it was probably maybe a month ago. We were talking about male teachers somehow. Like, you know, and I remembered, oh yeah, that's what it was. I had this 1994 Knicks Rockets NBA Finals shirt that I wore, and my math teacher in sixth grade was mad because I wore it after the finals when the Knicks lost, and he was like, I don't want to see those two teams on a shirt. And I remember his name. It was sixth grade math, Mr. Huey. All right, so 2 minutes later, Mr. Huey's daughter's best friend is on the line, right? So she calls, hey, Mr. Huey's watching you. He wanted to say how much, you know, he's busy with his grandkids, but he loves. So then I said, you know, it's funny. I remember Mr. Huey so well in that thing, and maybe because he was a male teacher, and I only had a couple male teachers, and the other one was this guy, Vito Caparuso, who was my Italian teacher, and he was a hothead, and he used to say this thing, you treated me like a horse of manure. 10 minutes later, Vito Caparuso is on the line, 78 years old, calling in from Levittown, going, somebody had called me and said I was on the radio. And I'm like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I know these are local guys, but the fact that there's just somebody, it's bang, 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 they're talking about you, they're talking about you, and boom, they're on the line, just like that. Yeah. The power of the radio station is still extremely strong. One more example, too, is KFC, Kevin Clancy from Barstool. Mm-hmm. When he hosted, he said that he hadn't got that much reaction from doing something in the longest time. Now, he gets millions of views on his videos, but just like personal reaction, like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're on WFAN. Yeah. It's like by my metrics, you guys are crushing it.
I can see that because, like I said, I'm good friends with Sal. So I know Sal's mentioned my name a couple of times in his show. You've mentioned my name a couple of times. And anytime it happens, if I'm not listening at that moment, I get texts from people right away. They just mentioned you on the fan. I'm like, okay, then I go, you know, I try to go back and listen. And it's, you know, FAN is still a monster. And the thing about the ratings too, don't you think, listen, at the end of the day, if you're number one, you have good ratings. There's a lot of benefits. Security, money, this, that. Don't you think the best thing after, like, no one wants to ever say money, but money's the best thing. Everyone knows that. But after that, it's that they leave you alone and let you do what you want. That's the best thing you can have. After money, that is the best thing you can have, is when they just leave you alone.
No, yeah. And that goes back to what we're talking about the 4 hours of straight sports show and the fact that we're doing well and I can bring up any topic and do and say whatever I want. I mean, I try to appreciate those moments as much as possible. And it was just off the air when had a real funny show and it was all spontaneous. I said, thank God I'm doing this show. I mean, just thank God, because this, it doesn't get any better than this. It just doesn't. So, and with Spike, you know, there's things, like I said, mechanically, he'll say, don't do this, don't do that. But he's never like,
What's it don't do? I'm just curious. What's it don't do?
He hates when we break late. He hates when we break late, and he doesn't like if I bring up a topic before Jerry's update, because he's like, get to the update. People expect the update at that time. So it's all mechanically. I mean, it's nothing. We'll never be like, don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. Don't bring up this thing. You know, talk more Mets, talk more Yankees. It's never that. And he trusts us to come up with the content. And it's only like little, just like just mechanical things within the program and the clock and stuff like that. So yeah, it's you're right. Being left alone is great. Now, you know, I do have some worry about the next guy that's going to come in. I mean, this is super inside WFAN, but you know, Spike Eskin, who came in and did an amazing job after Mark Chernoff, and someone who's so funny, so creative. We did these Boomer and Geo live shows with him, and he produced them. And now he wants to go be a talk show host. Can't blame him. And he's leaving, and we got to get a new program director. Now I got to go through that. So hopefully that next guy leaves us alone and trusts us too, but you never know.
Usually when they see the numbers, you know, listen, anytime someone new comes in, you never know what's going to happen. But I'm sure once they see the numbers, then they'll leave you alone if they're maybe trying to get their claws in it at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, you would hope, there's also people come in and go like you know, I want to put my stamp on this. I want to put my signature on this program. You know, there could be, but I don't think our boss will hire someone like that. But it's always a possibility. So, and if you're in this business, you're always worried about something at some point. So this is the thing I have to worry about now.
All right. So tell me about who am I kidding? The computer died. We're continuing the taping like an hour after the continued item. We're redoing a story. So full disclosure, we were having a great interview and my computer died and everything's all messed up and I'm off my game. So I'm going to have Gio retell a story of how he got into radio and ended up at WFAN. Go ahead.
Well, I always loved the radio station. I wanted to talk sports. I wanted to be on the radio, but I didn't think it was possible. I remember someone told me that it was easier to get into the NBA than it was to be a full-time host on WFAN. So I was afraid of that. And I could play music. I was born with the ability to play music. So I had the big upright bass and the guitar, and I could play it. And I played orchestral music and jazz music and bluegrass music. And I was all state and I was good at it. And I needed to get a job. And there were so many musicians that were better than me that I saw that were struggling financially. So I said, how can I get a job? My mom was an English teacher for many years. So I said, I could teach maybe. So I went to Ithaca College to be a music education major because I had 100% job placement at the time. And I went up there and I hated it. It was miserable. It was cold. I came from Belport High School. That was very diverse, and went up there and it was not. I didn't mesh with anybody. I was as depressed as I ever been in my life. And I called my dad after 3 years in and said, I want to come back and try to be on the radio. And Mike and the Mad Dog had just gotten on the Yes Network up there, because this was before streaming. So I couldn't listen to the radio station. They get on the Yes Network. I'm cutting my classes. I'm watching them. and saying, I got to give that a shot. I would not be happy with myself if I didn't give that a shot. Called my dad. He said, sure, come on home. I thought about transferring to a couple of different places. Transferred to Hofstra, got an internship fall 2005 at WFAN, September 9th, 2005. Sid Rosenberg let me in the door. And got hired part-time after that, full-time after that, every single job that you could possibly have at the radio station. And that's how it started.
I love that story. I love that it was like a work your way up and do everything and then hit it big and then have like the massive success. I love that story. Especially in this day and age where like, you know, people make a social media video and then they get hired somewhere. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, I appreciate that. One of the things when I first started, I don't hear it so much anymore because we've had success. When I first started, like, oh, you're so lucky, you know, that Craig ended up getting in trouble. I'm like, wait a second. You think I was the only person in the world that wanted that job, was qualified for that right. job? No. It took years right. and years and years and years and years of putting myself in the position to be able to take that opportunity and be right there. And I said, you know, and I don't remember as many people going, oh, well, and then they might have said it to them, but it was sort of pre-crazy social media. But I mean, Imus had to get in trouble himself for them to get the opportunity. So that's what happens. Right. And when you prepare yourself and you're ready to be there, when something goes down, then you're the next guy.
That's actually a phenomenal point. Like, yeah, because if Imus didn't do what he did, then that show doesn't happen. And also, I think, listen, I used to discuss this, you know, privately with Sal all the time. As a longtime fan guy, like no one ever left that station, like ever. Like for so many years, it was Imus in the morning. The midday show would go through ups and downs and change a lot. Mike and Mad Dog were there for like 5,000 years, and you had your Richard Nears and your Steve Summers, and no one ever left. So no matter how you got there, to get that spot is still significant because that was a station that did not see any changes outside of the midday show. And even then it was still like, you know, Susan Wolman did it. She was at the Fan Forever. Jody McDonald did it. He was at the Fan Forever. So like that was a place where no matter how you got any position to get there, to take any credit away from that is ridiculous as far as I'm
concerned. Yeah, I mean, I know. And I shouldn't have been, you know, even cared about that at the time, but it was one of those things where it was like, hey, like I left my friends and family for 5 years to go out to Pittsburgh to see if I could do this. And I was doing mornings out there to be able to come back and did 3 more years of morning radio at CBS Sports Radio. So it's not like I was sitting in the newsroom picking my nose and all of a sudden someone got in trouble and I got the morning gig. Like there's a lot of stuff right. that goes into it. So that is something I was proud of.
Last thing before I let you go after this marathon taping, thanks to my computer dying, I appreciate it. Your Joe Beningo imitation is one of the greatest things I've ever heard. And you do the mic and you do Chris. And can you imitate anybody? Like, is that just something like you hear it and you can do it, or is it only certain people?
No, it's only certain people. I can't imitate everybody. I always think about the people on Saturday Night Live. They're asked to do a certain person and they got to listen and listen and listen. There's some people I just can't do. And it was funny because it's usually people I'm around a lot that I end up picking up on it. So I did not have a Joe Beningo impersonation for a very long time because I was working nights and I was with Summers and I was with Tony Page and I was just not around Joe. So then when I started getting around Joe, then it happened immediately. And it's the easiest impersonation to do now because he says the same stuff every single time. There's absolutely nothing like it's the same thing. Like with Mike, he's got a same similar thing, but he can broach any sort of topic, you know, with Joe, it's the same exact thing. And then there's like, you know, there's little things like with you know what I mean? Like, where you're like, you know exactly what, you know, he means. Like, yeah. It'll be like, I don't know. Like, you'd be like,
you don't have to do it.
I am hungry and I would love to have lunch, if you know what I mean. I'm like, yeah, I am. Like, what do you mean?
You cannot have a better imitation. Like, that is so. Do you have, now you say you can't do anybody, but do you have, I'm not going to ask you to do it, but non-sports, do you have any imitations you do or like to do?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it was funny. There was a guy that worked at FAN. His name was John Schmelk, who now works for the New York Giants. And he had this one thing that he did when he would say something that only really he would think was funny. And he would do this like little laugh and this sound with his voice. And I would do that for the bosses. So he'd be like, well, that didn't go very well. So I'm telling you, sounds strange, but this is what he would do.
Right.
So I used to do that for Eric Spitz and Mark Chernoff, and they would laugh their asses off. I remember when they sent me to Pittsburgh, they were like, listen, you know, we think you're going to be okay, but like the John Schmelk impersonation is not going to play out there. And I'm like, yeah, but I'll go out there and there'll be somebody. And of course, right. There was a guy, Ron Cook, who did the midday show. I picked up his voice. Other guy, Vinny, was doing the midday show. So I was able to pick up on that. But as far as my friends go, oh my God, like they, like I do the second I moved to Sayville, there were like six guys I ran into that I started impersonating to my friends. And there's a voice of a guy too that I grew up with who sounds like Barney from The Simpsons that I'll use from time to time. He's the guy I do the bit occasionally where his answer to every question was hack a fire stick. So no matter what, I want to watch that show, hack a fire stick. So and so that no matter who is in my life, I will pick up on something here or there, but I just can't do anybody. So if someone's like, well, do my impersonation, do my voice. I'm like, well, I can't. You got to be more distinctive or different or have a different type of voice for it to register.
I just remember, too, there was a funny thing with you imitated Beningo talking about the Jets. You made it up, but he was talking about it was something with the Jets and politics.
Oh, yeah, it was China.
Where I tweeted it, and someone wrote it as if it was the big lead, wrote it as if it was the real joke, like they got tricked.
Yeah,
it was hysterical. Right. Oh, about China spying on the Jets.
Right, China spying on the Jets.
That's what it was.
Because Rob Sala was scrolling through TikTok. Because remember, he would scroll through TikTok. I was like, yeah, it's run by the Chinese. You know what's going to happen. Week one, Chinese has a playbook. China's got the playbook. They're going to take it. They're going to give it to McDermott. Because we all know China hates the Jets. We've known this for years and years, bro. Ever since back in the day, China didn't like the Jets. They're going to have the playbook. We're going to lose 41-0. 877-337-66. We'll take a break.
Think about this story for 1 second, okay? So Gio does that rant. Well, not rant, but does that impression on WFAN. I see it and hear it. I tweet it. And someone picked it up and wrote a story. And the headline was like, Robert Sala, at WFAN radio host Joe Beningo concerned about China picking up Jets playbook. Like that is the perfect summation of like what media is today. Social media, the content game. Like that is the perfect summary right there.
Right. And whoever that guy was that wrote that story for the big, I think it was the big lead. Like he couldn't just say like, I got duped. I'm sorry. I didn't do enough work. It was like, it was one of those things where like, well, I didn't grow up in New York. Am I supposed to know what every WFAN host voice sounds like? I'm like, no, idiot. I mean, you really think that someone, I mean, I know there's some bad takes out there, but you honestly think that someone, the morning drive at WFAN thinks that China is stealing the playbook for the New York Jets? Like, what?
The sad thing is we live in an era where someone would believe that. Yeah, like, everything's a conspiracy. So, like, right now, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into that, but like literally everything's a conspiracy right now. So that would be like a 4 on the scale of like conspiracies that I hear during the day. So,
yeah, you are.
But what is not a conspiracy is the juggernaut that is the Boomer and Geo show for WFAN Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 and also on the CBS Sports Network. Thank you for doing this and thank you for dealing with all of the technical issues that are an embarrassment. I appreciate it and keep up the good work. I'll be listening and thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy. I really do appreciate it. Anytime. I was actually a little upset it took you this long to ask me to do this, so I jumped at the opportunity. It's my pleasure.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
All right, joining me now, as he does every week for our weekly Train of Thought segment from WFAN and SNY-TV in New York, my buddy Sal Akata. Sal, how's it going?
Great. How are you on this, Wednesday?
I'm okay, but it's a special Train of Thoughts because Greg Giannotti is going to join us after our regular pod interview where my internet and computer died and we had a 15-minute debacle. Greg is nice enough to give me more time and join us for Train of Thoughts.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I'm a regular Train of Thoughts consumer and listener and watcher. And during that 15 minutes that Jimmy was away and I was sitting here staring at my phone, I was like, I hope he asked me to stay on even longer than I was supposed to. So this is a dream come true.
Look at this. I told Greg how we went to Rothman's that night and everyone recognized you walking to the restaurant. It was like that scene in Goodfellas.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you got to see Gio when we go to the Portly Villager in Sable. It's like the fucking president's walking in there. And I'm sure the both of you were extremely comfortable during that outage for 15 minutes where you're trying to get your computer working. Gio has bad luck with this shit. You set up a whole interview. He's got people come over to watch his kids. They leave him in the dark on it. The guy spurns him, and now you get him on. You keep him on after. You can't get your shit together working wise.
I'm still shaking.
Yeah, you don't know.
I'm still shaking.
I had to do this. They asked me to do an interview with Little Dicky, and I was like the person that he was interviewing. And I had this whole thing set up. I created a studio in my house, and I had to have people come over and watch the kids because my wife had the flu. And I'm sitting there. God. I sit down. I'm like ready to go, and they're like, "Little Dicky's schedule change. We're not going to be doing this." I'm lucky I even have a laptop right now at my house. I can set my house on fire like Tyreek Hills.
So one of the ongoing themes with Sal and I is like, is it bad that I don't know who this person, like I didn't know who Ice Spice was at the Super Bowl.
Ice Spice, yeah.
Is it bad I don't know who Little Dicky is?
I knew him, but didn't know how popular he was. He has a show named Dave that's on FX that's very popular. And he's got like,
I know the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny comedy songs. But no, I don't think that it's bad. I used to judge people for not watching or knowing who, you know, people were. But then I got so tired of yelling at Sal saying, how do you not know who this person
is? Right.
This is our governor. Right. I just gave up.
Yeah. I could totally see that with Sal.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I don't know who Fat Perez is or Little Dicky until Gio talks about it. But I didn't even know, and I think we talked about this, Jimmy. I had no idea that Trump could run for president again. I just thought he was done. That was it. I had no fucking idea he could run again.
Ooh. So are you trying to tell me that you didn't know that Donald Trump was running for president this November? Like, when Correct. Did you realize he was? When did you realize he was?
I thought we discussed this. Maybe it was somebody else I was talking. Maybe it was a group of friends. Now I think about it, it was a different group chat. They alerted me to the fact that he was in fact running again. I was like, what do you mean? Isn't he done?
When was this?
Maybe about a month or so ago, a couple months.
So wait a second. You're telling me that you didn't know till a month ago that Donald Trump was running for president?
Yes.
Do you know that Joe Biden is running for re-election?
Oh, God. No.
You didn't know that?
Oh, no, I did see him.
Well, who did you think the two people?
I did see him holding a press conference while holding an ice cream cone, though. I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, nobody ever can be taken seriously licking an ice cream. Like, if you have an ice cream cone in here, it's just... All right. Let me... So I got a bunch of topics. Let's start with this, because this is perfect to have Gio on. A couple of weeks ago, a buddy of mine texts me. He won $11,000 on a crazy $7 parlay on FanDuel. Literally, $7, 11,000 winnings. First thing he sends the group chat, do I tell my wife? Sal? Now, you listen, I know your brother-in-law listens to this and you get in trouble with what you say on here, but be careful. But yeah, the question is, if you won 11,000, do you tell your wife?
I tell her that I won 5,000.
Okay, fair enough. I mean,
that's the play. Honey, I won 5,000 bucks. Here's 500 or 1,000, whatever. And then, you know, you look like a hero, and right. You also get to keep the larger stash to yourself.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I also think the question, I have to answer the question with a question. Does your wife hate you? Is the first question. So if your wife hates you, then you say, we won $11,000, then all of a sudden, oh my God, and then you might get laid. If your wife actually likes you, then you keep every penny and you stash that shit under your mattress or in your car somewhere, and you don't let her know anything about it, and you actually have some fun.
So I said to him, well, let me ask you this. When you lose $500 in a night, do you tell her? He goes, absolutely not. I said, well, right. Then I wouldn't tell her about the winnings. You know, he goes, well, I told her and now I'm buying a refrigerator.
Oh, rookie mistake. Rookie mistake. Yeah. Don't ask, don't tell. She knows. I know. We don't discuss.
Well, I went to dinner. I was at dinner the other night with my friend Diesel and his wife, and I brought this up. And the wife said there'd be major issues if he didn't tell her. Major. So then I said, well, what's the cutoff? Like, if he wins 500, does he have to tell you? She said, no. She said 1,000 and up, she needs to be told. So I told him, whenever you bet now, you do max winning 999. Don't go over the 999, and then you're in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, it depends also what type of wife you have. Like my wife is essentially Matlock. Like, she's one of these. She's like Sherlock Holmes when it comes to this shit. So she'll figure it out somehow, some way. So I'd never be able to truly hide that type of thing. Plus, I'd be excited about it. I actually, not to sound like a dick, right. But like, I kind of want to share. I'd like, you want, yeah, it's fun. Let's do something.
Right.
You want to brag about that. You turned $7 into $11,000. You want to brag.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. But you brag to your friends in the group chat and you tell your wife to share the excitement for half of it. That's the play. I mean, come on.
Oh, you're always getting in trouble on here. I don't want to get into like a massive debate because I saw this stuff. I was barely on Twitter over the weekend. For like 4 days, it was beautiful. I know there was a whole hullabaloo about court storming. I just want to say one thing. I am pro court storming. I don't care if someone got hurt this weekend. It's a tradition in college. Storm the courts. Where do you guys stand on court storming?
I love it. I mean, I think it's uniquely college. There's very few times where someone gets seriously hurt. It doesn't happen in the pros because people get arrested. I mean, think about some of these great scenes that you had when Tennessee beat Alabama and the goalposts are going down. There's thousands and thousands of people on the field. And when you're watching it on TV, like we are most of the time, it's the greatest thing ever. I mean, if I'm on the field getting trampled by a bunch of crazy people, it's one thing, but I'm not going to be there. So for me, in my entertainment, it's awesome.
Yeah, I've never had experience with it at Suffolk Community College. We didn't do the storm the courts there. I don't even know if they had a basketball team, actually. But I honestly don't care. College sports to me has lost so much. I used to enjoy it a little bit more. But now knowing that the students get paid, it bothers me. I think it's cool for football. In basketball, it's a little weird where you're seeing people get run into and potentially hurt. So I think eventually it's going to be stopped. But I do, from an entertainment standpoint, I enjoy seeing it.
All right. Debbie Downer right there.
I mean, that's just the truth. They're going to stop it. Caitlin Clark gets run over and gets knocked down, and now somebody else gets hurt. Like, you know how they're so reactionary. They're going to stop it.
We'll see. I don't know how you stop it.
Exactly. I mean, I was just about to say, like, how? I mean, you can't thousands and thousands of people that are pouring on. They're going to grab one or two, and they're going to throw them in jail. And then most people are going to be like, listen, the numbers are still in my favor. I'm going to have a good time. I'm a drunk college kid, and I do not give a shit. And it's just going to be impossible. And think about the people that are security guards at these games, too, by the way.
Yeah, like, right. You know,
from 65-year-old, 450-pound pig who can't stop anybody.
That's the thing about it. College kids are animals. You're not going to stop them from storming the court. First of all, they don't care if they go to jail or get in trouble. They're in college. That's what they want to do. So you're not going to stop them.
But I guess the question is, and not to be like, you know, try to bring up a darker angle to it, but it is dangerous. And I'm not talking about a player getting hurt, but like, what if you have some nut job with a weapon on them? Like, you know, the way that the world is now, I know you can say that for anything, but, you know, Shiv spot potentially.
Well, and here's what I think if you have someone storming the court and they have a weapon, then I think the issue there is you got to check for weapons before you go into a game. Yeah. I don't think you need to stop the issue there is the weapon, not the storming the court.
True. Right. That is true.
Let's go on a happier topic. Sal, did you watch the We Are the World documentary on Netflix?
I did. And while I thought it was interesting, like all you guys pumped it up. Oh my God, you got to watch this. John Harper at SNY was like, I watched it twice already. I'm like, whoa, I can't wait to check this out. Like, it was good. I liked the song. I thought certain elements of it were interesting. It was not like the greatest thing that I ever saw.
A horrible take on so many levels. First of all, the song is awful. It's an awful song.
I love the song.
Oh my God. And it's an awful
nailed
song.
That chorus.
But the documentary was tremendous. In fact, I don't want to insult Gio, but he was my second option for a guest this week. I tried to get Lionel Richie. Didn't work out.
Oh, well, I mean, I can't get upset with that. You know, I didn't watch this one. I got to be honest. I had zero interest in watching this one. And plus, I am neck deep in Love is Blind. And until that's over, I'm not going to be watching anything else. And you can't tell me anything on Netflix that's more entertaining than Love is Blind.
I've never seen it, but I got to check it out.
But if you're a music person and you grew up in the 80s, you have to watch this documentary. I mean, I don't want to give spoilers now because Gio didn't see it, but
I'm not
the stuff
right they come together and write a song. Like, what? There is no spoiler. No.
How about Bob Dylan was nervous and couldn't do it, and Stevie Wonder had to show Bob Dylan how to sing like Bob Dylan. You didn't find that fascinating?
My favorite part was when Stevie Wonder started doing something in Swahili and what's
Waylon Jennings
that,
left.
Yeah.
Waylon Jennings. Out. He walked out. Yeah.
Like, no country boys singing Swahili or something. He just gave leaves.
Cindy Lauper, she's trying to do her part and they can't like record it because there's all this noise and they couldn't figure out what the noise was and they thought the microphone was bad and it was her jewelry. It was tremendous.
Gio, you're a music guy, so I know you'll enjoy it. It was fascinating, but like everybody's building it up to like this great thing. It was good. It was
because it was great.
Everything else
it was great.
In life, like expectations ruin it. Just like everything, like you know, right. Expectation is the thief of joy. And if someone builds something up and you go into it and you're like, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. Generally, it sucks. Like
I'm such a lunatic that don't get him in trouble. The minute it was over, I went on Lionel Richie's website, found an email address for his publicist and emailed him like, can I get him on the Sports Illustrated Media podcast?
I thought he came across very well on it. And I think Prince came across poorly, you know, for not showing up, obviously.
How did he come across? Yeah, but why does he have to show up?
And I thought remember they brought like his girl there or whatever to try to get him, lure him there. And he didn't.
Well, that
do it.
Was, yeah.
Every
yeah,
other megastar in the world is doing it. Billy Joel could do it. Stevie Wonder, you know, Ray Charles was there, I think, too. Like, they had everybody, and he can't partake.
Yeah, but he's Prince.
Above it.
Yeah. Are you just realizing that Prince is a little off?
I'm not a Prince that? Guy anyway. Never been. Although he is a Vikings fan, take. Right? Yeah, Prince, a big That's Vikings right. guy.
Yeah, the fact that Prince came out of Minneapolis is one of the weirdest things ever in American pop culture.
It really is. And, like, what was it called? His house there, Paisley Park, like in the middle, like probably like the biggest thing in Minnesota. All right. Bad take by Sal all around on that.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Did you watch this week's Curb?
Which one was it? I think I did.
Are you not dejected? What was the word? What was the, oh my God. I had it all in there. What was the word they use in the golf?
Oh,
the
I did. Yes, I did watch it. Horizontal tug. Did you, or whatever.
No. That was the week before.
Oh, wait, that one.
Are you disgruntled? That was this week.
I'm not up to date. You didn't watch it. I missed it.
Gio, did you watch it?
No, I didn't either, man. I'm sorry.
Do you not watch Curb? No.
I'm not out on it. I'm totally in, but I like to build because the episodes are short. I can't just have one episode a week. I'm building up as many as I can, and then I'm going to run through it. And I haven't gotten a single spoiler yet. And it's a kind of that's a show you can't really spoil, in my opinion. Right. So I'm just letting it run a little bit.
I lose track a whole now thing. because of the way they're released. And because of when I watched, so I feel like I watched it Sunday, but I might have watched it before the most current one. I had that happen with True Detective, where I was like, oh, we got to wait till next week, the season finale. Meanwhile, I watched the fifth episode the night that the sixth one aired. So I must have screwed that up with Curb. I'm one behind.
Terrible.
I was watching that stupid other fucking documentary on We Are the World.
Oh yeah, because you can't watch. There's no football, so you're not watching. What are you watching? Yeah, you're not watching anything right now.
My wife, we got shit going on. What do you mean? What am I watching? Yeah, I'm just sitting there in front of the TV. No, I got the real. Unfortunately, real life issues taking place.
He's watching his life go down the shitter.
I don't know what's going on, but Sal's having a rough week. Sal's having a rough week. Yeah. Would you like to? Is there an update on the house?
Knock on wood. Should be closing potentially Friday.
All right.
Closing on Friday. All right. So you close Friday. When do you physically move in?
End of March. We're getting all that in order. You'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't, but like it's ridiculous. I'm on the phone for 2 hours with mortgage people getting everything. Oh, do you have this paper? Do you have that? Then I'm on the phone with contractors. Then I'm on the phone with lawyers trying to get everything in order. The people that are, we got to move out of our house. We're renting it back. When are we leaving? Moving company, like it just doesn't end ever. God,
it's just the long-standing tradition of Sal having a bigger problem with everything that every adult has to deal with than the rest of
us. Yeah, that's the issue. You're right. I don't want to be an adult. I want to be a kid. I want no responsibilities whatsoever. I want to watch sports.
You guys aren't going to believe this, but I got to get a toothbrush. Then I got to put the toothpaste on the toothbrush. Then I got to stick it in my mouth. And then I got to move my hand. And then after that, I have to spit it into the sink. Can you believe this shit?
Right.
Sal like wants to buy a house. Like you buy a candy bar. Like you go into CVS, you grab the thing. Like, no, you're buying a house. You're buying a house.
You're right. But what do you expect? I like checking stuff off the list. So they're like, oh, send me this, this, and this. And then I send that. And then it's like a list of seven other things. Or then this person wants – it's just a lot.
So let me ask you this. So you're going to close Friday, move the end of March. Are you now, where you live now, you had that sick setup in the basement with this big screen, with the TV, projector.
Yeah.
Are you going to have something similar, or is that gone now from your life?
I think it's gone.
Now we know why you're so bitter. Okay, now we know why the bitterness. Now we got.
For now.
Yeah. Do you have a separate TV room for yourself like you did in this current house?
Yeah, there will be a room now, where I will be able to host my friends without being bothered by, distractions in the house.
I'm not coming to Jersey, so don't leave a spot for me. I'm not going there.
I mean, yeah.
What's going to be the setup? Are you going to have one big TV, two TV? What is the plan?
No more multiple TV setup. I'm done with that. One. That's it. You have multiple, Gio, in one room to watch sports, or just one?
I mean, no. And the reason why is, honestly, well, I have the basement we still need to do something with. And that could be down there. But when you grow up, you get a nice house. It looks like shit when you got multiple TVs on the wall. Like, I'm not running a sports book. I got a
Right. I had, as you know, Jimmy, in that theater room, we had the big screen and then a couple TVs on the side, and I've evolved.
Well, you don't need multiple TVs down there because you have the whole wall is a TV.
Well, you could, because of the new app on Sunday Ticket, you can split it. Or whatever it is now on YouTube, you could split it into four, which is also why I'm going to eliminate. If I needed a second screen, I could just use the iPad for whatever reason. I don't need another TV on the wall. And it looks like shit.
All right, so let's recap. He's losing the big theater setup. Terrible take on We Are the World. It was great, despite what he says. Didn't watch Curb. And if he wins 11,000, he's going to tell his wife he only won five. That's basically the recap of the Sal appearance this week.
I think A+.
And I cannot wait when this ends and I can text you and ask you what exactly has happened this week to make you so salty.
What did you guys talk about?
Gio and WFAN and the
traumatic experience with his computer dying on him that I actually forget. You know, there's like a before and after when you have like trauma in your life. Yeah.
It was a phenomenal interview until my computer died. It was really good. Good back and forth, good give and take, good topics. And then the computer died. And right now I'm ready to just go run out into traffic on Jericho.
Yeah, right before the computer died, we were ranking the last 15 midday shows that the radio station has had over the last 5 years. And I was just getting to number 14. So
did we make the cut yet at 14? I will go back. I'm curious to go back and listen to this podcast. So it was funny. I signed on. I saw a media podcast with Greg Giannotti. Oh, maybe they had Gio on. I was not expecting to have the three of us together. So it's been fun.
Once Lionel Richie dissed me, I said, let me go to the list of people I have not had on who I want to have on now that football's over. And I went right to Gio. But I was hoping for Lionel. Shocking. He wouldn't want to come on.
Yeah, I mean, listen. You made me wait 15 minutes when your laptop melted down. And you're really hammering this Lionel Richie thing on me. I mean, Jesus. I haven't felt this bad about myself since Chernoff was the program director.
I mean, listen, I listened to you in the morning, but you didn't come up with all night long. Let's just, call it like we see it.
Yeah, but his ratings
Sal, do you have a favorite Lionel Richie song, Sal? Let's end with that.
No, I don't even know them by name. I would know it if I heard it. What's that one that they were playing during the special? You know, he was in the jacket with the car. Huh?
We Are the World?
No. His individual single song. Give me names of his.
All Night Long.
Yeah, that one.
Dancing on the Ceiling. Say You, Say Me. Easy. Sunday.
Yeah, there's a lot. All Night Long is my favorite Lionel Richie song.
All right. Anything else, Sal, you want to get off your chest? Why are you wearing a Jets sweatshirt?
It's a hoodie. I think Boomer said the same thing to me a couple weeks ago. Like, it's a comfortable hoodie that I purchased.
But you're not a Jets fan. You're not a Jets fan.
I root for the Jets.
Why?
And, well, why does anybody, right? I mean, why do Jet fans root for the Jets? I like the Jets, no problem. But it's a nice hoodie. That's it. It's a shirt. It was clean.
Gio, what do you think about the Falcons fan wearing a Jets shirt?
Oh, I don't. I mean, at this point, I don't care about it. And people don't understand. Like, it's Sal wears these, like, fashionable sports things. He doesn't really care what's on it. He just likes to wear it. So I've seen Giants, Knicks, Islanders, Rangers. I've seen all of it. He likes to run the gamut. I mean, it's like that. I don't know. I feel like that whole, like, Joe Beningo take of, like, you can't wear someone else's jersey or whatever. It's that's like believe that in 1997, you know?
That's what when we have to go back and finish the Geo interview because my computer died and I want to get into the Joe Beningo imitation. So for people listening, we've already done that. We're going all over the place, but that's what we're going to do when we go back because the computer dying just fucked everything up. All right, Sal, I'm going to go finish with Geo.
You still got Thank more? You're confused
because I wanted to get your segment done.
All right, thank you. All right, go ahead, guys. Have fun. I can't wait to listen to it.
Try to. Take it easy.
All right. We'll be good. Gio, I'll see you tomorrow morning. All right. Enjoy. All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye, Sal. All right. My many, many thanks to Greg Giannotti. Hung in there through some technical difficulties, which I appreciate. My thanks to Sal Licata. And if you've missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Trainor, go into the archive, check them out. And the most important thing, subscribe. If you're not a subscriber, hit that subscribe button and subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Trainor. All right. That wraps it up. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.